Well, good
Hello.
evening and welcome to the Insight Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
And it is a very blessed day. We've got special guests, but we've also had a special event that happened a couple minutes ago I'll tell you about. And I want to just let you know we come to you every week on bbsradio.com, 9 o'clock Pacific time, midnight on the East Coast. Happy New Day, folks, on the East Coast. And in Hawaii, where we are right now, it is 6 o'clock, a little bit after 6. So, hi, Sherry.
Hi, Len.
How's it going?
Great. Anyway, so we just want to thank you for joining us tonight. We want to thank our sponsors, HealthyWorldStore.com, for your awesome products. HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. If you're not a partner with us, you can sign up today. You get a free website, and you also will be able to collaborate with us and our partnership and get your discounted products. We also have 528records.com. If you are a musician, we encourage you to upload your music to 528records.com, and you are then eligible for 60% royalties for anyone who donates for your music. So sign up at 528records.com, and we also have 528radio.com, which
Yay.
Is 24-hour listening, music transposed into the 528 frequency of love, and we need your donations. So we appreciate them whenever they come in, and we need them to keep our servers going and to get bigger servers because we constantly have more and more music added every day, and we appreciate all the people out there that are donating their music collections to us, as well as all the musicians out there that are actually showing their music to the world by putting it up on the site, and it's being transposed into 528 if it's not already recorded into that frequency. So thank you for that.
So that's great. I want to also thank Asheville Magazine doing a special on us and BBS Radio, the Inside Hour. Asheville Magazine promotes us, and we likewise do the same for them. They're a very interesting website, so check it out. AshevilleMagazine.com has an assortment of various things from natural healing methods and materials, articles about healing and spirituality, metaphysics, and actual physics. So we appreciate their support. And gee whiz, this is an unbelievable day for me. It was, for those of you who know me and have followed my work for a while, strange things happen in my life, but I've never had what happened to me about 2 hours ago happen. We're in Hawaii, as I told you. And the door was open. And
it's on the Big Island.
On the Big Island of Hawaii.
Lush, tropical.
It's virtually like a Jurassic Park-like setting out here. And we don't get cell phone out here, believe it or not. It's very, very, very pristine. You don't have the influences at night. You don't have any lights out here.
We have Honolulu for that.
Yeah, right. So, but anyway, the door was open. We're on a second floor up here, the big deck outside. The door is open. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting doing computer work. I'm dealing with litigation matters. We're still dealing with a lot of fascinating discoveries in litigation and filings in litigation. And there's a whole assortment of new postings. In fact, our newsletter, which if you haven't gotten registered to receive our newsletter, the Healthy World newsletter, do so by going to healthyworldstore.com and signing up for the newsletter, because we give you some unbelievably wonderful stories, as many as we can get out to you. And I've got another one that's due.
Yeah, we can send this interview out too, so we can promote our guest.
Terrific. Yeah, we've got Michael Murphy with us tonight. We're going to be talking about chemtrails and biochemical intoxications.
And his films.
He
actually made a film called What in the World Are They Spraying? And now he made another one called Why in the World Are They Spraying? So we're going to talk about that tonight.
So that's our special guest on tap for tonight on the Insight Hour. So I'm now like sitting at my computer, typically where I hang out, and I'm typing away. And all of a sudden, man, I hear a bird fluttering at my head and literally lands in my head. Man, I'll tell you something. You want to see Horowitz freaked out? I was freaked out for about 5 seconds until I realized that this was a parrot. I kid you not.
A Senegal parrot from
Africa. A magnificent, beautiful Senegal parrot, a male Senegal parrot, who literally 2 hours ago selected me to be with as a buddy. And he's just hanging out right now. You wouldn't believe it. He left my hair a couple minutes ago. He flew over to a grape dish and is picking at our grapes as we speak.
Yeah, he's really, really cute. And he's very friendly. So it seems like somebody may have lost him now.
I'm sure that somebody must have lost him. But the sad poor bird has one eye, is lost. He lost one eye, but he looks beautiful otherwise.
He's beautiful green and yellow, like 5-8 green. And
yeah, 5-8 green, a beautiful, beautiful color, yellow breast, and just unbelievable. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I want to bring our guest on now.
Yeah, so let's do that. Please introduce Michael Murphy, Cherry.
So Michael Murphy is on waiting to be on right now, and he made a film called What in the World Are They Spraying? And now he made another film called Why in the World Are They Spraying? Welcome to the Insight Hour, Michael.
Oh, it's great to be on. Thank you. Thanks for covering this issue, and it's great to connect again with both of you. Thanks for everything that you're doing.
You know, we met on a boat. I think that was the last time we were interviewed together on a boat in Honolulu. And yeah, I thought you were very, very interesting, and I was very excited to be able to have you on our show.
Yeah, it was good, and that was right after we released What in the World Are They Spraying? A lot has happened. I've learned a lot, you know, about some of the agendas in terms of what they're doing with these programs, so there's a lot to talk about, and the new film is going to be premiering on August 18th in Los Angeles, so there's a lot of excitement, a lot of talk about it, and feel really strongly that we're going to have a much greater impact on the movement. First film was very successful. It was seen by over 10 million people worldwide, but we really, again, believe that this film will have a greater impact. So that's what we're praying for, what we're hoping for, and every day we're moving closer towards the restoration of our planet by stopping these crimes.
Yay, that sounds great. Where is the premiere going to be, Michael?
It's in Los Angeles at the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails meeting. It's a three-day event, actually. We're going to have experts from around the world come in, Clifford Carnicom, Dane Wigington, some really incredible speakers. But we're going to be premiering the film on Saturday, so that's going to be the 18th. But the film is also available on our website, which is witwatch.com, or whyintheworldarethespraying.com. You can see the trailer, and it's an investigation into, there are many agendas associated with these programs, but we take a real close look at the weather control aspect, and without question, aerosols are required to control and thus corporatize our weather. So we interviewed meteorologist Scott Stevens, Dane Wigington, Francis Mangles, and then Mark McCandlish, who was involved in the aviation industry and actually worked for the Department of Defense as a consultant. So, again, learned a whole bunch, but there's no question about it. These aerosols are being used to corporatize and control our weather, but we found that certain corporations, because they have this ability now to corporatize our weather, are making a killing, both monetary-wise and in terms of our genetically modified food industry. The drought that we're seeing now, a worldwide drought, some companies, again, are making a ton of money. Geoengineers are very open. They say geoengineering will create drought. What happens, the particulates that are now in our skies, again, they're showing up in rain tests around the world, they act as cloud condensation nuclei. So instead of the moisture adhering to other moisture droplets and forming rain, they stick to these particulates in our atmosphere. They do not drop. They simply migrate. And again, we now have global drought, and that's a consequence of geoengineering.
Wow. I mean, and you've actually written a lot of books on that, or actually a lot of study on that, didn't you, Len? You've written, was it one of your...
Well,
which book was it?
It was Death in the Air,
and then
which came out 3 months before 9/11, and it's called Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare. And the wonderful chapter that we had contributed by William up in Canada, you probably know William, gee whiz, I'm getting fuzzy here in my old age.
That's from the aluminum. I'm missing the name too, but he was one of the pioneers. He was an incredible researcher.
Yes, he was, and he did a beautiful job. You know, it's not my area of expertise in the chemistry of aerosolizing death. Basically, I'm, you know, more into the biology and the genetics and the electrogenetics and the frequency mechanics of restoring health naturally. And but William Thomas, that's right, William Thomas. Yep. Thank goodness for brain cells. So, and then William did a beautiful job. I actually commissioned William. I wanted to support him and gave him some money to do a really good chapter in Death in the Air. And that was, I had already received a lot of research from people to alert me to the fact that there was things like barium and aluminum and even blood cells and some of the droppings, the fallout that I had seen. I had seen some wispy spiderweb-like particulates that were laying on vehicles that people had collected and sent off to labs in the early days. What's happened mm-hmm. since then? Anything new, Michael?
Oh, well, there's a lot new, and we do know, you know, of course, geoengineers now are coming out. They're selling these programs to the public, stating there are going to be some severe consequences, but we really want to put 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide into your atmosphere to cool the planet, because aluminum is very reflective. And again, geoengineers are very open about the consequences, which are drought, diminished rainfall, which is drought, depleted ozone. We now have a massive ozone depletion. Our UV scales are now going off the charts. It used to be from 1 to 10, now it's 1 to 15. Many people who used to be able to stay out in the sun for a very long time now are finding that they burn very quickly. Some of the other consequences is food disruption. Geoengineers state if we implement these programs, it could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people. Well, guess what's happening right now? We have food disruption of over 2 billion people. And again, the fallout of aluminum, barium, and strontium, which matches geoengineers' plans and proposals, and it also matches a number of geoengineering patents, which are devices which have been designed to specifically spray these metals into our atmosphere. And we now have an issue which is called global dimming. We are now receiving 20% less sunlight than we were just a few decades ago. That's also a stated consequence of geoengineering programs. But again, geoengineers are stating some people are going to be hurt, there are going to be winners and losers, but we may have to do this for the global good of society to save the planet. Well, what we have found, now studies indicate that putting aerosols into our sky temporarily, because aluminum's reflective, it will reflect sunlight back to space and there will be regional cooling. But when the aerosols stay in the atmosphere at night, they act as a blanket, they trap heat. We have seen a great increase in nighttime highs in the past 10 to 15 years when these programs have really been ramped up. So the question now remains, you know, what is the agenda or what are the agendas? And there are a number of agendas. Many go into biological. But without question, a big part of this is weather control. And aluminum oxide specifically, is the main metal that we're finding in rain tests. And while geoengineers state that it's highly reflective, what we have found is that aluminum is also a very effective conductor in our atmosphere. So we've noticed about 200 to 500 miles ahead of storm systems, we see this real intense spray and heavy canopy of aerosols. And what they're doing after they build that canopy and our skies are littered with this aluminum, they have the ability through the HARP system and other technologies to actually heat our atmosphere. And what does a heating atmosphere do? Boom, it expands and it rises. And in that rising, it creates a low-pressure vacuum and enables these corporations to literally steer storms into, or in the case of this summer, out of certain regions. And I've spoken again with a number of atmospheric scientists. Aerosols and geoengineering, everyone has told me, could be used to control and corporatize the weather, because these aerosols, depending on what you put in the atmosphere, you can actually diminish and break up a storm. I'm in Chicago right now, and we're having severe drought. But when these storms develop, we see these beautiful thunderheads right away. We'll see the planes spraying above those storms. And they will not develop, and the rain will not fall. This is without question an engineered drought. But by putting other particles into the atmosphere, they can literally build clouds. and build storms and then steer them again with the heating of our atmosphere into certain regions. So it's about control. It's about power, which hopefully we'll get into. But I know I've been very long-winded.
No, not at all. Don't feel that way. We really appreciate it. I'm sure all of the Inside Hour listeners also greatly appreciate your expertise.
We actually witnessed in Honolulu some odd weather behavior. We saw a tornado and a hurricane and snow fall, and it was just crazy. All of the three elements of weather.
Baseball size hail.
Yeah, I mean, it was just wild that that would happen in Hawaii, and you don't get tornadoes there. It's not tornado country.
Yeah,
and there are some earthquakes, but very rare.
Well, we get them on the Big Island.
We get them more, but not as much in Honolulu, and we witnessed that. So there are lots of strange weather changes, and we believe Honolulu would be an experimental place because of the military presence that's there, and we know we live in a building that's full of people from the military. So I can just imagine how they're using that for experimentation. But tell everybody, Michael, how, because a lot of people are not familiar with you and they're also not even aware of the chemtrails. You talk to people and they're right there in the sky. You wonder how come people can't see them or why they're not even questioning them, but they need to wake up, and that's what we're here to do. So tell everybody how you got involved with doing this type of research and exposure of who's behind the chemtrails and your interest.
And from your perspective in corporate, multinational corporation, genocidal manipulation, poisoning, mass population reduction through intoxication. Tell us a little bit about what you've discovered, who's doing it, and beyond the why, because I think the why you've talked about, they're claiming, but, you know, what is this on two levels? One is a geopolitical economic level and depopulation level.
That's a second question. Let's start with this question, and then we'll go into that.
And the other is a spiritual level.
Because the first question was more for people that are not aware of any of this stuff.
All right.
You know, and I always like to give them information out there because so many of the people listening to the show are wide awake, but they have family and friends that are not. And so that's why.
And we have new listeners all the time. That's true, Sherry. Go ahead, Michael.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a long story, but I was living back in Arizona, and when I first moved out there for college back in the late 80s, I noticed the deep blue skies that we had, and there was rarely a blemish. Occasionally during monsoon season, you would see clouds in the sky. Well, after college, I left for a few years and then returned, and I noticed about 4 to 5 days a week we would have these high clouds. But I didn't know what it was. And probably like most of us who now are aware of this issue, when the first person that told me airplanes were spraying chemicals into our sky, forming these chemtrails, I really thought that they were crazy. It wasn't until somebody pointed out airplanes that were spraying up above, and they literally turned the sky into this milky white. So I started researching this issue that many are calling chemtrails. And I found a lot of information, a lot of it was scattered on the internet, but when I really became concerned about this, it was at the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting in San Diego, and that was back in 2010. And again, for 3 days, I listened to geoengineers talk about their plans to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide and other damaging metals into our atmosphere, and I heard them talking about the consequences. And then I met some researchers who have been following this and claim that they have proof that these programs have been started, even though geoengineers are denying that they started these programs. So I wrote an article, not expecting it to get any traction, but I call this a calling. It was definitely a spiritual awakening and also a spiritual calling. The article, which was called "What in the World Are They Spraying?" went viral, you know, went around the internet, and when people saw that, they literally started calling me and asking me to start investigating this, so I borrowed a friend's camera, and that's what started the first film, which, again, has been a catalyst to many movements around the world. The why part, again, I did not want to do another film, but the doors opened, and I walked through the doors, so I'm very humble about the calling, because I know that there's a higher purpose involved, if you would. So, again, this film, we believe, is going to be much more powerful because of the of the way that, that it was laid out. And everything that we're seeing now in terms of drought conditions, weather changes, ozone depletion, this, these are all consequences of geoengineering programs. And the story for the film had been laid out, you know, before we had all these situations during the summer. So what we're seeing is actually in the film. So it's going to awaken a ton of people. Why in the world are they spraying.com? You can see the trailer. And we do have DVDs ready. We encourage people, everybody who purchases the DVD, to make copies and hand out for free. But who is doing this? And we began to touch on that. Three films, I believe, I'm going to be called to do. First one was What in the World Are They Spraying? Second was Why? And then I may get an opportunity to do Who in the Hell is Spraying, where we really dig in. But what we found, there are several different levels of corporations and governments that benefit from the aerosol spraying and weather control. At the very least, is the military. Militaries have been interested in weather control for a very long time and actually perfected weather control, weather modification back in the Vietnam War. They, in a project called Project Popeye, actually flooded out the Vietnamese supply line, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, with, I believe it was 13 feet of rain in less than 1 hour. So it's an interest of our military because it can give a strategic advantage for certain militaries if you can disable supply lines or create conditions for the enemy that are unfavorable. Like, you know, I remember back when the U.S. invaded Iraq, there were incredible sandstorms, you know, and I remember people saying, wow, God must really be on the side of the U.S., you know. It's really difficult for the Iraqi army to even battle these people. Well, now I've come to realize that the U.S. does have this technology, and it was even discussed back in the early 90s in a military paper called Owning the Weather by 2025. And, of course, that's an expressed interest of our military. So, again, Russians have been using this technology for a long time. China has actually admitted to creating artificial snowstorms. And Sherry Len, it's now, like you had mentioned, adverse weather in Hawaii. Should not be getting hail. Should not be getting these tornadoes and everything. When you add particulates and when you push and pull the climate severely, you're going to get these results. You're going to get intense storms in certain areas. And, of course, there are corporations that benefit from that, which I'll talk about in a second. But we're talking about snow. Chinese had admitted creating artificial snowstorms. One thing that we've noticed now, when we were children, it used to snow right around 32 degrees or below. Now it is snowing in the 40s, very close to 50 degrees. What we found in our investigation and talking to meteorologist Scott Stevens, there is a patent. It's called NASA, Ice Nucleation for Weather Modification. It's a patent that's owned by NASA. So, you know, we see it snowing close to 50 degrees. NASA has this technology. Why would we believe that these snowstorms are real if the technology is there? And it's real similar. You know, it's real similar to the chemicals in an ice pack that can sit room temperature for years until you mix those chemicals together and then it turns into ice. And that's what we're seeing on a regular basis. But many reasons why they're doing it, many different levels. So militaries are very interested in this technology for a strategic advantage. But what we found also in the investigation, and this blew my mind, weather is actually being traded at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in the form of weather derivatives.
That's outrageous. Unbelievable.
I was looking for a response. It's actually outrageous. And what companies will do, they will actually invest in these weather derivatives to offset their risk associated with weather. So it's real important to note not everybody who is trading weather derivatives is involved with seeding the clouds. However, at the very upper level, people who have the playbook, you can literally make billions of dollars annually by predicting the weather. And again, most people think our weather is not predicted or predictable. It is absolutely corporatized and controlled. And what we found, we interviewed a trader, Michael Agnew. We found out that every commodity is driven by the weather. And if you can predict the weather, you cannot lose. And a good example that he gave, he said, let's say you have a crop in the Midwest this summer that's worth $5 million, but you invest $10 million or insure with $10 million of derivatives, you make more money if the crop fails. And that's what's going on. Again, every commodity is driven by weather. If you can predict the weather, you have that leverage. So there are mechanisms through weather control to literally make billions of dollars annually just on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. But we found that it goes much deeper than that. And we know finances is something that drives many different markets, but it goes into a deeper level. And, you know, living out in Maui, I live when I'm not producing films or traveling, speaking about this, I spend a lot of time in Maui, and we live on organic farms, and, you know, it's a beautiful way to live. And when I first got out there, it really blew my mind. For the first time, I lived with people who were dependent on nature. They grew their own food, and essentially were dependent on their land, but it's changing. And we interviewed a couple farmers on Maui, and this is happening around the world. We are seeing ecosystem collapse. We're seeing our forests collapse. But the ability to grow natural organic foods is also being lost. The two farmers that we interviewed, one has seen a 60% decline in the past 10 years. The other has seen a 70% decline in their ability to grow natural organic foods. A couple of reasons. We know the aerosols, the aluminum, barium, and strontium, sterilize our soil. They make it almost impossible to get natural organic yields. And one of the farmers on Maui actually had to build a greenhouse to grow her food and get yields. Things that are outside of the greenhouse are dying. I mean, this is Hawaii, you know? And when I was back there this winter, most of the Hawaiians told me, they said, for years, in the wintertime, when it rains, they say, we expect things to get more green. They said, this year, everything turned brown. And it did. I was there all winter. I was in the rainforest. Everything was dying. These aerosols that eventually fall into our soils, because it not only changes the pH, but it stresses the soil by having this heavy metal particulate and the changing of not enough moisture and too much moisture, creates what's called abiotic stress. And again, we're seeing ecosystems collapse very quickly. Forests are collapsing very quickly. But guess who has the solution to this? Sherry, I think you would know the answer, and I can expand on it.
I'm sure I know the answer.
I know you know the answer. Monsanto has the solution. They have developed an abiotic stress-resistant genetically modified seed. The seed covers everything from apples to zucchini. So here's what's going on. Bill Gates, who now is publicly admitting his involvement in funding geoengineering, also invests in Monsanto. So geoengineering programs, without question, destroy our soils. No question about it, Monsanto now is just raking it in because farmers are not getting their yields. Many of them are going out of business as a result of these stresses. And we're really seeing this come to fruition this summer here in the continental U.S. In areas like Africa, Monsanto has stated a couple of years ago their agenda to go in and literally genetically modify Africa. How do you genetically modify a country that's getting good yields? You don't. So through the destruction, through the manipulation of our weather, sending droughts into certain areas, it makes farmers very dependent. And when they're dependent, they will gladly give up their natural organic seeds and go into these genetically modified seeds, which many of them are what's called terminator seeds. They will not regenerate seeds, so the farmer has to go back to Monsanto year after year after year. Geoengineering, chemtrails are a very effective way to create disaster and come in with the solution. These people are disaster capitalists. That's what they work on, death and destruction. And through that, and through these programs, Len had mentioned population reduction. You can control everything. If you control the weather, you control the planet. You control every food supply and every political system. And geoengineer David Keith, a couple years ago, said geoengineering gives man godlike power. That's what I think he was talking about.
Exactly.
Well, that's my question. But before I go into the metaphysics and the spiritual dynamics of this manipulation, Sherry, you had something.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Have you heard about people getting arrested for growing gardens that are organic and growing their own gardens because Monsanto wants to control the seeds that people are growing in their garden? And if they're caught growing organic seeds in their own gardens, they get arrested or they get fined. Have you heard about that?
Not yet, but it appears that there's been a push through the food safety bill, which did not make it through. There was definitely an agenda to do that, and but I think, you know, I think we're in a period where we have these criminal elite who definitely are part of the heads of these multinational corporations that are trying these things, but it's from people like yourself. In us collectively standing up and saying no, that they're having a challenge doing that. And that's why it's so important to speak. That's why it's so important to get out into public and make people aware of these things, because they're pushing very hard to get this legislation through. And this is a time where we have to be very awake, we have to be very vigilant, and we have to be very active in the laws that are being established for our future, because if we are not, we're looking at a very, very, very grim future for us and our children.
Yeah, no question. You know, the answer to your question, Sherry, I'm aware, the last I heard, there was a case of a farmer who was growing organics, and seeds were cross-pollinating across the way with Monsanto crop that they had a patent on. And the bees were cross-pollinating and poisoning, contaminating the organic orchard. And the Monsanto Corporation sued the farmer for stealing their patented plants. There was some litigation in that matter. So this is hideous, you know. And I'm obviously all concerned, and we're thankful that you're sharing with us this perspective. What are we going to do about this? I mean, we talked about last week, we had a couple guests on. We had Jane Burgermeister on. She expressed, like, we have the need for prayer and spiritual orientation. We had before that, a week ago, before Jane, we had Stu Webb, where we concluded pretty much she was without prayer and without having a 528 love revolution happening, energetically opening people's hearts. Because it's so sick and degenerative what's happening in the culture right now, that we need a miracle. And the miracle doesn't seem to be happening by the grassroots anymore. It doesn't seem to be happening. And because, you know, Sherry's beautiful work in exposing the COINTELPRO, the mind control, the use of the media to manipulate the populations and the mindsets to keep us basically dumbed down and apathetic. And so we've got that issue. And so we've got really now, where do you go? This is like the end time scenario. These lunatics and hypocrites that are claiming they're the solution when point of fact made it clear they're the problem, and they're creating problems for commercialization and consumption. The sum
total.
So, you know, this is where we're at. And I'm wondering, what's your perspective, given the fact that this whole barium, aluminum, environmental poisoning, the harp, the degenerative frequencies that they're rendering, moving these storm systems to wherever they want to control the weather. What's your perspective on a spiritual, metaphysical level of where this whole thing fits in and what we can do about it in terms of a spiritual alteration of this planet?
I'm glad that you asked. And, you know, it's important to note some people address this issue in fear. Other people address it in anger. And I really come from a place of faith. And I believe that collectively, those of us who are awakened to this can and will and have the power and the ability to put a stop to these programs. The beginning of anything, any change that we have, whether it's in our life, our community, starts in the hearts of human beings. And truth has a frequency, and a very powerful frequency. So by speaking truth, and it you know, you had mentioned love, by speaking truth in love, it has power. And when we do that, and when we address this, we have the ability to influence people and motivate them to take a stand. And for me, this is, it's not a movement so much against geoengineering. It's a movement for the restoration of our planet. And I think those of us who have become awakened have gone through to the things that are happening, have gone through some sort of personal restoration. And that's what has to happen. So through that restoration, and it comes in many forms. You know, prayer is a very, very important aspect. I'm an activist at heart, but I pray before I go out and hit those streets and I clear the air. And I've seen miracle happen time and time and again with this issue. But when we go out, again, if we're moving within in the realm of love, you know, truth-based in love, we will see mountains move. And we did that, you know. So we did a campaign in Maui, a very strong campaign, and it was based, I believe, on right motives. And when we first went out to film What in the World Are They Spraying, very few people were aware of this issue. We did held many screenings. Handed out a lot of free DVDs of the first film. As a result, we got critical mass, and we met with the political officials, and specifically the mayor's office. As a result of that, and going in with the right, I guess the prudent element of truth, going in with the right amount, they agreed that this was an issue that Maui wanted to take up. So we formed the Clean Sky Ordinance. That's an ordinance that will effectively spray, ban geoengineering programs without an environmental impact statement and informed consent. So, and our ordinance is now being formed around the world. I want to point out I'm not naive enough to believe that the geoengineers and the chemtrail people are saying, oh, no, we can't spray around Maui. But it's a start. It's a start. And it's once this is passed, it will make headlines around the world, and it will create a consciousness. It will create an awareness to this issue, and it's moving closer to getting these programs stopped. And it will be used as a model, because right now geoengineers are calling for emergency geoengineering. What they are doing is they're taking illegal programs stating that the whole planet will be destroyed unless they put these chemicals legally into our sky. And I think that's a reaction as a result of the awakening that, that is going on. So again, at a spiritual, metaphysical level, it's real important that we move within A, what we're called to do, and B, within that realm of love. And when we see how we're supposed to address this, when we get that vision, maybe it's speaking to somebody on a corner, maybe it's speaking to a group, but when we listen to our heart and we speak the right words to somebody, we will see change. And that's what I think happened at the mayor's office. And there are ordinances now in Suffolk County, New York. I'll be out in New York tomorrow, meeting with those people and meeting a lot of people. But again, a lot of different ways to address this, but we have to look inside and see what we're called to do and how we're called to do it.
Yeah, that's what we're doing with the 528 Love Revolution, exactly that. You know, our hope, and when I came out with that book, Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, and concluded also in my earlier work, which was the Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, where we looked at all these issues and then realized, gee whiz, without love, without a divine connection, without having that Holy Spirit power of love that can transform everything, we are totally lost. And then you kind of like look at things. I'm sure, Michael, probably in your own life, have you ever thought it was like a miracle that you survived a near-death or real-death experience?
I've actually had quite a few, and my mother has said, yeah, you know, you're a walking miracle. And I definitely am no stranger to miracles. I've seen many happen in my life. And again, the impact that we've had could not have been done on my own accord. And what I mean by that, it was a calling. You know, it was something that the doors were very clearly opened, what I was supposed to do. And I walked through that. And in doing so, you know, we've impacted millions of people around the world. So those numbers might seem high, but I say this very humbly. This was something that I'm called to do, and I'm, God, you know, I'm very grateful for this opportunity. It wasn't really a battle that we won, you know. I don't want to address this for the rest of my life, but when these programs are stopped, and they will be, then we can move in into the type of life that, that we want. But again, this right now is a calling, and when you're called to do something and you step forward, providence moves. All sorts of things happen that we would not be able to do, and that is how really I became involved in this movement. That is how we're beginning to see change, and I believe that can happen with each and every one of us. I believe that we're all here on the planet to do something very specific and very powerful, and when we get into that place and we move within that, and that's where we need to be to restore our planet, to bring the change in, and again, that comes from a place of love. I've seen many people address this in anger and in fear, and I don't think that is the place of power. It is that place of love, and that's when we're in our calling.
Yep, I can completely confirm that with my life too. Sherry, go ahead.
I just think that most people don't want to get involved in any of it. They just want to sit back and kind of tune it out. And, you know, they contact us. They're very grateful that we're on the front lines and we're trying to fight the beast, but they would rather not get involved. And they just, you know, say they're praying for us. But
that's great. We really appreciate that.
But that's pretty much like what people do. I mean, most people, there's very few of us out there.
That was my point is, and maybe I didn't make it clear enough. You know, at this point, I personally, and I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, and I completely agree with you. I still love filmmaking. The media is film. People don't read anymore. They like watching off of YouTube, things like what you're producing. And that's why Sherry and I, we're planning, God willing, to go back into production next week in Honolulu on some really fantastic, you know, shocking, stunning, outrageous, like what you're doing, in terms of Google, in terms of the media, in terms of the manipulation and the invasions of privacy that have us now under surveillance virtually every click of our mouse. So that these things, however, even though you have your calling and it's a divine calling, and we have our calling, it's a divine calling, I feel that the most powerful thing that we're doing right now is like listening to the music and playing the music. And the music that we're talking about is, like Sherry, you mentioned, the 528radio.com. Because every time you listen to that music, actually a vibration goes out far beyond your ears. It goes out like a pebble in a pond, and it strikes the farthest shores. The hearts of humanity globally is picking up the frequency. And what's happening is that it's like, if it is, as we've been talking about, the key to the house of David that opens doors that no man can close and closes doors that no man can open, those are spiritual portals to people's hearts. And it's in the heart center like you've been talking about. That's where the love is. That's where the universal healer is, love. And that's where bravery is, to be able to go out with a brave heart and tell the truth. And not be afraid of who you're telling it to, and tell you every single which way you possibly can. And there's also, in the heart, is where joy is. So instead of fear, you go into faith. That's where faith is. It's where joy is. It's where love is. It's where this concept of we can make a difference is, because we have brave hearts. And that's where, we walk through this valley, through the shadow of death, fearing no evil. Because like you said, Michael, you've experienced it. You've been saved for this unique calling in your life. Likewise, Sherry has. Likewise, I have. Sherry had a bullet virtually go through the top of her head. I had a brick literally go through my head. It wasn't time for our death. And so what's happening is, I think, as we put out this truth, this understanding of how resonant energy, bioenergetic, biofrequencies, electrogenetics, harmonics, frequency dynamics, and the musical manifestation of reality, we can totally change reality coming from our hearts in faith. And there you go, back to the old scripture, you know, you can move mountains with a little bit of faith.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're seeing miracles right now. So things in certain areas are becoming very dark, but that is getting people to question and accept this message, you know, which again is backed by love. And we have an issue, chemtrail geoengineering issue. It literally affects every living thing on the planet in a very negative way. Because of that, we have something now. This is the first issue ever in humanity that we have had as humanity to come together on. It doesn't matter what race you're from, what country you're from, everyone is affected. And people are beginning to realize really what the role in this planet is, because short of nuclear fallout, there is no greater threat to our planet. But again, because of that, people are realizing the severity of this, but then also the responsibility, but then the opportunity that we have. We are the first generation to deal with an issue this severe, and I believe that we're all put on this planet during this time for such a time as this, and again, we are the ones that this cycle, which has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, we are the ones that can restore it. And that's what I feel like we are called to do. We're called to restore our fragile planet, which now is being molested in so many different ways. And we have to. It literally is our survival. And that's a very powerful calling. It's a very important calling, but it's a very beautiful calling, because it affects everything in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah, beautifully said.
Very beautifully said. You know, the depopulation agenda, and I know we talk about this all the time, they're not only hurting our skies with pollution and our air and our food, they're also endangering us with the vaccinations that they're putting out, and they're using other countries to do the testing on them, like Africa, for instance. And just now on the news, the latest news that's happening in Uganda is that they're putting out this fright about an Ebola breakout, that people aren't able to kiss or hold hands anymore. There should be no physical contact. And again, it's like almost touching on the love thing. It's like these people don't want love. They want dissonance. They want disease. And they want death. And they will profit from what is our suffering, and that's how they make their money. So on the way down, they'll profit from it. So people just need to wake up, and we are out there every day, like you, Michael, waking up people to the truth. Read as much as you can on what's in vaccinations. Read about who Monsanto is. Read about GMO that's affecting your vegetables, because people go to the store, they don't really care. They see like a big, huge piece of fruit. Wow, this piece of fruit will feed my family. But what is
so
that?
Good,
and
you know,
it does.
And it's totally dead, you know, compared to what's really growing on in an organic garden that you pick fresh.
I mean,
like
what is seedless watermelon? I mean, how can something have no seeds in it? You know, taking away the seeds, taking away the life. And that's part of it. Depopulation.
Of course.
Depopulating the vegetables, depopulating
humans.
Well,
it goes down to what we talk about, Michael, on the program, is the 528 love versus the 741 death. And basically, you know, that's called the devil's tone or the devil's interval in classical musicology. It's two frequencies that virtually create the emergency tone when you're listening to the national emergency signal. It's like, you know, it's just horrible. And
right.
That's really, you know, what this concept is, that we have an opportunity to play, to tune into a different channel, to tune into where we have the restoration and the harmonization, to go back into sync with the way the Creator created everything in harmony instead of degenerative hypocrisy. And so this is, again, what we do on the Insight Hour every week. And we're thankful to you for coming on tonight, for sharing, you know, what you have been. Before we end, because we've got about 7 minutes, Can you give people a little bit more information about how to get in touch with you, about your websites, about your films again, and about the upcoming premiere of your new film in L.A.?
Oh, absolutely. And the website for the new film, which again is a must-see, is witwatts.com or whyintheworldarethespraying.com. You can see the trailer there. Again, a very powerful film. A few people have seen the screener. They said this is a very impactful film, and it will revolutionize the environmental movement. This is it. So we do need to become aware of that. So again, witwatts.com, whyintheworldarethespraying.com. And we're premiering, so you have the ability to watch the premiere live streaming at the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails meeting. CBClive2012.com is the website. Of course, you can get that link on our website. But our goal is to have over 1 million people around the world watch the premiere. As a result, we expect, you know, thousands of people to download it and literally make this thing go viral. And again, it's very important because we're at a very vital time in history. So please send out information, send our trailer out, and make people aware of this event and what we're doing, because again, the chemtrail geoengineering issue will go away, but it's only through us collectively addressing it.
Is Edward Griffin with you again on this production?
He is a distributor on the production, but he was not involved with producing this. I produced this with one of our editors from the first film, Barry Kulski, who's had thousands of hours on network TV editing, so he did just an incredible job. And the people who have had a chance to see this film, they said, wow, you know, we thought the first film was really good. They said this is just, you know, several cuts above. So it's important, you know, obviously to have that quality there, because the people that we're trying to reach are used to CNN, they're used to some of the major networks, and we bring that quality into this film. And again, think that we're going to have the ability to, and will have the ability to penetrate different markets, different people who have not had the opportunity or been really willing to look into this.
Wonderful. Yes. That's a great thing. Terrific.
Yeah, that's awesome. And good work, Michael. That's amazing what you're doing in the world. And I'm very happy and proud of you. And so is Len.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, I feel the same about both of you. So when I get back to Hawaii, which hopefully will be soon, I'm hoping in October. I know in September now we have screenings, people who are organizing them, but we'll definitely have to get together in Honolulu. You know, it's about a 20-minute flight, so I would love to connect again with you on Len's boat like we did a couple of years ago.
We'll have to have you on the Big Island. You know, I've got a question for you. It's kind of like offbeat here. You know, you are one handsome guy. You know, you see your pictures on the internet, and has anybody ever told you you look like a better, handsomer version than Robert Stack, the guy who played Elliot Ness on The Untouchables?
Well, thanks for the compliment. I've actually never heard that, but I appreciate it. No, I haven't heard that, Len.
Yeah, you look like a young, handsomer version than Robert Stack.
And I always tell Len he looks like Ricardo Montalban.
We'll have to have a Hollywood.
We live on the Big Island, and you should definitely come to visit us here. You'll love this place. We live in an inn, and it's on 27 acres. And so you can come and stay here. We have a room for you. And it's, you know, on Honolulu, we actually
now we have a tiny studio.
But
Senegal parrot for you.
Yeah, but we live.
Hey, folks, this parrot is right now. I don't know if you heard it during when Michael was speaking. He was chirping in the background, and he flew over. Right now, he's sitting right next to me on Sherry's shoulder. I kid you not.
He's really cute. So cute.
Yeah, only in Hawaii, right? So, yeah, I can't wait to get back. And the Big Island is one of my favorite places. Had an opportunity just a few months ago. We did a screening on the Big Island of the first film. So The turnout was really good, and that was about a year and a half after our first film was released. So I would love to come back with the new project and share what we've learned, and again, hopefully create, you know, we are creating a worldwide movement. Roseanne Barr, one of your neighbors, will be at the event, the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails event. It's been a very strong supporter of our work, is aware of what's going on. So it's good to have, cool, you know, some more celebrity.
Just say hello for Dr. Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane.
Yeah, for sure. I got to record this ending on video where this bird is just looking right into the computer right now and actually joining us in this interview.
Yeah, we've got it's a beautiful bird who flew out of the sky, a clear sky. How about that? Perfect for having Michael Murphy on talking about chemtrails today. All right, well, God bless, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes,
folks, that's about it. We're coming to the very end of the hour. I want to thank our sponsors again, HealthyWorldStore.com. We come to you every week because of the products that you purchase from HealthyWorldStore.com. They're our main sponsor. Without your purchases of books, tapes, DVDs, CDs, healthcare products, and equipment on HealthyWorldStore.com, we wouldn't be here. So we want to thank you for all your support. Also, all those folks out there that pray for us. Boy, I'll tell you something. We feel it, and we are so thankful that you do that. We are thankful for the angels of protection. We're thankful for all the revelations, including those about chemtrails, including those about vaccinations, including those about what we need to do to protect ourselves. We want to thank also OxySilver.com, and we want to thank your ability to protect yourself and keep away these issues like Sherry was talking about, a new Ebola outbreak in Africa. I'm sure they'll probably start to threaten us with all sorts of things. If you've got OxySilver around and you've got prayer and faith in your heart, use them both together. That's what they're designed for. And boy, I think you'll be completely protected, as unfortunately others may not be. I want to also thank, as Sherry mentioned, the 528 Love Revolution and 528 Radio Network. You can right now listen to, I know, six stations, and there's a brand new one coming up, and it's called Monkey Man 528 Radio. We have a friend of ours who's doing a lot. He's a genius in guitar making, and he's a historian in music industry, and he's adding a whole variety of new music on to 528radio.com and the network. So you can listen right now to at least six stations and soon seven, and that shows you we're expanding, and we need your support, like Sherry said. All of that station and all of the network is expanding exclusively by your donations. It has to be that way, and it is that way, because we pray that we're taking over the music industry. That's been the design. We're planning this, like Michael Murphy was talking about tonight. We're talking about transforming the planet, literally shattering the old paradigms of destruction and degeneration and bringing a new world order that is not what the multinational corporations are talking about. God wants a new world order too. He doesn't want to have it run by multinationals that conduct genocide under the guises of national security and public health. No, that is a paradigm of destruction. And tonight's program is a testimony to that fact. We have an alternative for you. It deals with love. It starts in your heart. It is generated and amplified by faith. And the instrument to use is your lips. It's called prayer. We want to thank you for joining us tonight on the Insight Hour, as every week, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Pacific and midnight on the East Coast, Hawaii, 6 o'clock. We love you. Join us again next week.
Good night and God bless.